Hello and welcome to another episode of Mike M's Weekly Reads. I gotta try to do a lightning episode before I get to the actual reads because Barb's on her way. I got home early because the network was down. So preheating the oven for some chicken, and I have a few minutes here before Barb gets here to talk about stuff. So I have only one question this week. Yeah, let me bring it up. And I think it came from it was from Ivy. That isn't it. Those are old ones. This one says, "Is there okay? How did this come about? I posted what my favorite podcasts were that I never miss. Okay, there's some that I listen to that are outside this list, but I posted it on Twitter and." I'm pretty loyal to a podcast. In other words, I don't often leave. I did leave three podcasts that I can remember, and the other ones, I didn't really leave, but I don't always listen to them. But I really like the Nerdy Legion proper. That's my favorite podcast. And then Comic Talk Today I listen to. I do enjoy some segments more than others. I like to see the what's coming out, and I like to see the news or hear the news, and I like the Thursday one, which is surprising because I don't like interviews. And I listen to Comics for Fun and Profit, not to make money, because I already buy what they say anyway. But I think it's two brothers that I enjoy to listen to, even though they don't listen to each other on the podcast. It's kind of funny. One will say, "What about this?" And I just said that, and it's constant. But I like it. I like the format. The other thing it does provide, if there's anything that I would that I value, is like if they say there's a certain cover B to check out, because I don't always buy cover Bs, but if I go to the shop and I might check it out. And I like the cover the titleless covers now. It's just like a piece of art. So actually I ended up getting duplicate covers for Catwoman, Batman, and Detective, at least until the titleless stuff goes away. And then the other ones are whatever strikes my fancy. Let's see, what else do I listen to regularly? I think those are the big three. Oh, Comic Book Page. This one I've been listening to since episode one, and I haven't missed an episode. There's been times where I thought about leaving it, but I don't. It's a okay. What I like about the format is they review one Marvel, one DC, and one indie, and I think it's a good format because they're not spoiler specific, so it doesn't tell me what happened in that issue, and for me, I don't want to know because chances are I haven't read it yet, and if they do spoil it, by the time I actually get to it, I don't remember it anyway. Like it's way down the road because I don't keep current. I don't keep current at all. And then I like listening to the Mayo Report, the comic one, which is goes over the rankings from the comic book diamond list, and it talks about certain topics, and it does the same thing for trades. And then there's other podcasts on that particular feed, but those are the only two that I listen to, and those are the four that sort of wrap up my what I always listen to and what I can always guarantee to listen to on my Harley walks, which is pretty much the time that I get to listen to podcasts is during that and the time that I do dishes. And then the other ones are just whenever I have something extra. But I discovered another podcast that I like, and for those of you that know me, You know that I'm all in on the Marvel Epic Collections, where there's that Epic Marvel podcast that goes over the Epic Collections. And the weird thing is they have interviews, and I'm liking them. And I absolutely fell in love. The first episode I listened to, I heard about inside of, what do you call it, a Slack channel that I'm part of, which is a comic book page Slack channel. And somebody was talking about an interview with two of my favorite collaborators. Maybe I shouldn't say two of my favorite collaborators, the favorite collaborators that I have of all time. It's Tom DeFalco and Ron Frenz. And there was an interview, and I listened to the interview, and they were talking about an Epic Collection from Amazing Spider-Man when they took over from Roger Stern. And it was right after Secret Wars and the Venom or Spider-Man had the black costume. And it talks about like the Jim Shooter wanting to get rid of that ASAP and all kinds of interesting factoids. But what I love about it was the banter between Tom DeFalco and Ron Frenz. You could like feel the love between these two guys and how they enjoy each other's company. And that's why I like podcasts, is because it's not about the content, it's about the banter between two co-hosts or somebody talking about passionate, and it's the journey along with that host. And that's what draws me to a podcast. And this one is just amazing. I was keeping up with Derek Coward's Comic Book Noise, but I've kind of let some stack up because he's not doing it regularly anymore. I'll get some and then I'll get none and none. And I'm like, I'll get the what do you call it, Patreon episodes, because I donate to the show. Because if you want to donate to us, you'd have to donate to Derek, because Derek hosts our shows, if you don't know that already. But I like listening to his because he's driving and he's yelling at cars and he's talking comics or whatever strikes his fancy. And it's a journey. I've fallen behind just because it's not coming out regular. Regularity, I think, is important, even though I'm not regular myself. I don't follow my own advice, but it keeps you keeps the listener engaged. And knowing a show is coming out regularly, it doesn't cause you to drop it. The ones I've dropped is 11 O'Clock Comics, because there's comments that they make when that made me feel stupid for liking something, and that's how to make me drop something. If you use the term garbage and you say something is garbage, already you've lost me. If you criticize something and not respect that somebody else might love that, because somebody else's treasure, I mean somebody else's garbage is somebody's treasure. You got to respect the fact that there's listeners out there that might not share your opinion. Like I don't like Tom King's Batman, but I respect the fact that people like it and it's selling big numbers. And I respect what he's done. It just doesn't work for me. So like I'm not gonna knock on you or aggressively say it's garbage because you like it. I just say it doesn't work for me, and I tell you why it doesn't work for me. It's mostly the dialogue, not the story. The story is interesting. But anyway, this man, this thing got me motivated. And then they had one on X-Force, which is the first X-Force Epic Collection. And it's just the passion that they have, and he usually has a guest host, and it really works for me to listen to these. And I think I'm going to have to continue the rest of this Chris Ivy question in a bit, because Harley, I think, has sensed that Barb is home, and I'm going to have to go. But I may. But I will be back with Chris's question, if I remember. And his question is there a podcast you wish existed that isn't covered by the material in those? And he says you could save the question for Mike M. He was asking me. And I'll go over that in a future episode. So I will talk to you in a bit. Thank you. And I'll be back. All right, we are back. And I'll get back to Chris Ivey's question. So Chris Ivey says, is there a podcast you wish existed that isn't covered by the material in those? And I don't think so. Because if you see the podcast that I choose, it's not the material, it's really the hosts. And the material, I don't like to be planned. So if you listen to Comic Book Talk today, it's not really, it's a fixed structure, but you don't know what you're getting in the content. And then also with Nerdy Legion, the same thing. One episode they might be talking about crockpot recipes, and then the next one it'll be about comic books or something like that, or TV or movies or being in a caboose. So it's the randomness of stuff that I like. The Comics for Fun and Profit is you don't know what you're getting within there as they go through the solicits. So it does have a pattern on structure, but it's different from episode to episode. And then the other one is Comic Book Page, and it's just like a review show, but not really, because it doesn't go into spoilers, so it's interesting. And then the other one is just so I can know what the numbers are without having to go look at this stuff myself. And then to see if there's any interesting trends in the sales numbers. So, could there be more that I would want to listen to? There are more that I have queued up that I listen to. I sometimes listen to Gotham by Geeks if I have time. I sometimes listen to the Comic Book Addict, although he's kind of on hiatus right now because he's moved. Man, I can't imagine moving all his comics. That would be a nightmare. That's why I don't want to ever move. Moving comics would suck. What's some of the other ones? I listen to CCL because I love collected editions and just knowing what's coming out. Even though I look at previews and stuff, there's still stuff that I miss, and it's good to know what I might have missed. And what are some of the other ones I listen to from time to time? I don't know. And now I'm adding another one, but it'll be in the queue for whenever I feel like listening to an Epic Collection one or a particular interview. But what I loved about it was the Tom DeFalco and Rod Franz, man, they just seem like they love each other, and that's probably why I love their collaboration. It feels so seamless. Like, it just seems like they have the same voice. It's almost like if you had a Matt Kent drawn book and he's writing it too, or something like that, or Jeff Lemire, or any of those ones that are creators and artists and they can do their own vision. Every now and then you get a collaboration where the artist and the writer are two different people, but it meshes so well together. It's like, holy crap, how does it seem like it's one voice? And it just seems so, in my mind, it does. Like, and one of the things that it got me thinking about is like, I really need to go down that rabbit hole. Like, I need to own everything they have, and I have most of their stuff. Spider-Girl, the Thors. I'm missing their Spider-Man run, although I have it in Epic Collection, but I love their collaboration. I just really need to have it, everything they've ever collaborated, because I love it so much. So those might be some things that I'm looking for at Heroes, is some of the Tom DeFalco, Ron Franz, and then just some of the things on the maybe list is I still need a Freedom Fighters the Ray. So I will look for that to complete a Golden Age comic of every Freedom Fighter. But I will still continue. I always look for any Golden Age Plastic Man that strikes my eye, or Golden Age National Comics, or Doll Man, or Feature Comics, or Crack Comics, or any of those police comics that are quality. I keep my eye out. So that's something that, if anything strikes my eye, I'll look for. I'm still would like to have the first appearance of the Punisher, but I don't know if it'll be this time because I've kind of lost a little bit of interest that I was dying for before. But we'll see how that is, and that would be a high price purchase. Let's see what else I'd be interested in. The first appearance of the Suicide Squad. I have most of it in Brave and Bold, but not the very first one. So, and this isn't the Suicide Squad that you see in the movies or the John Ostrander or any of the future releases of the Suicide Squad. This is Rick Flagg and his human team, No Powers Adventure Group, the first one. And I do own it in hardcover because they came out with a Golden Age or a Silver Age archive of the Suicide Squad around the time of the movie. But I still would like to complete that. And Brave and the Bold is one series that I have a lot of. I mean, a lot. So, especially, I think I have everything from Batman when Batman started, and then a lot of stuff even before that. The other one the other key appearances that I'm missing is the first appearance of Metamorpho. I have the second and third. I wouldn't mind having that, and that's in Brave and the Bold, if I remember. It's either Showcase or Brave or the Bold. I think it's Brave and the Bold. Spider-Man has been on my mind a lot lately, which is weird because it's a title that I never stick with. Like, I drop in and out, but ever since Clone Saga, there's something in my mind that says maybe you need to read more Spider-Man, and then I need to read the Tom DeFalco, Ron Frenz Spider-Man. As a matter of fact, I kind of started it. They have it on the Marvel Unlimited. And I think the first one I'm starting with is the finale to their Hobgoblin saga, because Ron Frenz drew it. He had a guest inker or something, and Tom DeFalco wrote the dialogue over a Roger Stern script. So I'll be interested in that. So I think that's it for this episode. I'll be back with the weekly reads, and I hope you enjoyed it. Thanks a lot, Chris, for the question. And mostly it's time. I wish, time, the only time I can listen to podcasts is when I'm doing. I can't even do it when I'm mowing the grass because I can't hear the podcast. I'm deaf in one ear, if you guys don't know. I can't listen to the podcast and mow with the loud sound, but I can listen to music as I mow the grass. I can't work and listen to a podcast, or I don't hear any of the podcast because I'm so single-threaded. I'm concentrating on my work and I don't hear nothing. I don't even. I am so single-threaded that if I'm doing something or listening to something, I hear nothing. Like it's. Some people could multi-thread. I cannot. I am the complete opposite. It's one thing or the other. So my only time is my commute, which I don't even do on the commute anymore because it's like 7 minutes to work. So I just listen to music those 7 minutes, and then when I walk Harley, which is a little over a mile a day. And I usually get a 40 minutes there. Sometimes I walk her twice a day if it's the weekend, or I get home early and it's not raining. Then I could do two walks, and then the next time I do it is when I'm washing dishes. And then Barbara doesn't like that I do this, but I listen to podcasts when we shop at Target. I have one. I actually listen to podcasts While we shop, I hate shopping. I really don't like it. The only thing I ever like to shop for is comics. Like, that's the only thing I like to go to a store for. Other than that, I don't like shopping. I don't like shopping for clothes. I don't like shopping for shoes. I don't like shopping for food. I don't like shopping. I just don't like to shop. I don't even like online shopping. I don't like to sit in the Amazon and start browsing. I don't like it. Although I do like shopping for comics. So I like going to mycomicshop.com and browsing. It's the only sort of thing I like shopping for. I'm strange that way. So, and that's once a week, and that's another 40 minutes. So that it tells you how I eat up the existing podcasts that I listen to. The ones that I used to listen to is Around Comics. I used to listen to that until they disbanded. I used to listen to Bullpen Bulletins with David and Vince. I even appeared on a Bullpen Bulletins, if you don't know that, with Derek Coward. I used to listen to 11 O'Clock Comics and the two podcasts that I started out with. And God, I wish I would. How did I even hear about how did I even know that podcasts existed? That's the question I don't remember. I don't remember. I remember buying an iPod and using it for my music, but I have no idea what actually got me to know about a podcast, because I had no friends that listened to podcasts that told me go listen to a podcast. I don't remember how I found podcasts. Was it a forum? Oh, it could be. I could have Barb's smarter than me, so she says maybe you were on the forum. And no, because the forum came before the podcast. In other words, the forum was tied to the podcast, so I wouldn't have known about it. Yes, it was Comic Geek Speaks forum that I was on. There wasn't another forum. What other forum would I have went to? You were on a forum? A comic forum? It was comic book related. It had to be, because the only forum I ever was Forum for Geeks, which was podcast related, and then Comic Geek Speak. And Comic Geek Speak was the first forum that I ever belonged to. How did I find out about Derek's podcast? I have no idea. If I did this diary that I do, I would have could go back and listen to myself, but I don't know. It couldn't have been AOL. I don't remember podcasts being around that during that time of dial-up. 'Cause I started listening in around 2005. I know that's how it got me into DCBS as the podcast. It was Comic Geek Speak. But I don't listen to Comic Geek Speak anymore. I still listen to Derek's, but he doesn't come out that often. And I'm too damn lazy to listen to it that's not on a podcast feature. So I like sometimes they have Patreon type episodes, and I never listen to them just because I'm too lazy. So if it's not on my catcher on the thing, I just never listen to it. And the other one I listened to was, man, I'd have to get my cell phone. Was Brian Regate's History of Comics, or God, I can't remember. But I've been delinquent in that one too, because when his baby was born, he took a hiatus, and then it got me out of the regular schedule, and I didn't listen to it as much. It's still queuing up. It's just that I don't have time to listen to it. So, new podcasts, do I get to try them? only on some rare instance that my regulars fail to come up with an episode. Like, I think the only reason that I found, or I started looking for another podcast, other than I saw it in a Slack channel, was Nerdy Legion isn't as regular as it used to. It used to be like weekly, and now it's like every week, other week. Sometimes it's every, and that's my favorite. Comic Talk Today is at least 3 or 4 times a week, you know, 20 to 30 minutes. The Comics for Fun and Profit's about an hour. I like things to be about an hour because then I don't have to worry about ever resetting it as I'm walking. Like, if I walk, I don't have to say, well, I need to find something else, pull it out of my pocket, and look for another podcast. It's just something that I could listen to. And then I usually finish up the 10 minutes while I'm making breakfast or shower or whatever. So I like things to at least be an hour. I think that's about it. I would probably listen to a lot more if I had a commute. I used to work somewhere where I had a 40-minute commute, and I would listen to a lot more podcasts, but now that commute is down to 7 minutes, so there's no time to listen to any more podcasts. And I've had people like, well, try my podcast. You know, I'll be honest, I don't have the time, and I'm not going to knock something that I'm already a part of unless they fail to come out with an episode, and then it opens up a spot, and then I can listen to it. That's when I try something new, is when one of my regulars doesn't come out with an episode, and that's how I listen to the Epic Marvel podcast, which I have subscribed to now because I just thought it was amazing. Like, that interview, and I still have 10 minutes left of it, which is good, but I haven't had a 10-minute activity to finish it up. So, yeah, I listened to the hour part of it, and then I just need the extra 10 minutes. And then the X-Force one, I think, was 2 hours, but I have almost, I think I only have, like, 10 minutes left on that one. So sometimes I'll leave the 10 minutes for when I have a 10 minutes, like a dishwashing activity. So, yeah, that's podcasting. As far as my podcast, I've been podcasting since like 2006. And I think the only episodes I'm missing are Rocky Mountain Comic Book Noise number 1 and number 2. And I wouldn't be podcasting if it wasn't for Derek, because I was just a listener. And what I would talk to Derek online on the forums and send him IMs and stuff, emails. And that's how I got to talk to him. And once what I started to tell him as a listener is I started used to do Mike M's weekly reads. I used to tell him what I was reading for the week. And I think what he said is like, why don't you record something and put it out there? And I'm like, what do you mean? I don't know what that is, why I want to do it. And I did it, and I came up with Rocky Mountain Comic Book Noise. And Barb actually recorded with me towards later episodes. I don't know what happened to Rocky Mountain Comic Book Noise, like episodes 1 through 3. They're lost in oblivion, but I have the rest of them. And then that spawned off Geek Brunch. And then I think from Geek Brunch, I went to a comic book thing off of the Bullpen Bulletins forum and did something with Miguel from Portugal and another guy from, God, I can't remember where he was from. I think he was from Greenland or something like that. And we did an indie comic book show. And that one was funny because he used to always say my S's would be funny when I recorded So I would practice my S's before I recorded. He was a little more anal about the recording. Miguel was. And then from Geek Brunch, we did a Heroes Con. And then me and Eric spawned off DC Noise. And DC Noise is still out there, even though I'm delinquent putting something out. We've kind of disbanded as far as me, Keith, and Daryl. Although there may be one coming up. At least there's talks of one. But I can't promise anything with their schedules other than there's talks of one. And then I did a Valiant podcast with Daryl and Chris. And that kind of went away. And then Gotham by Geeks, I did. And that one, I just wasn't in it. Like, unlike the Valiant one, I just could, like, some of it felt like homework. So it made me, like, not want to get into it. And, then Mike Ems came, and then I've done a lot of like guest appearances on a lot of different shows. But I've liked the podcasting. I like the podcasting community. This one I think I'll always do for sure. I'm in talks with another collaborator, no, another co-host about bringing something to the DC Noise podcast, and it looks like it's going to happen. So we'll see how that goes and how long that one lasts, to see if we could get it on a regular basis. What else is going on? Well, I think that's it, and I'll be back with a Mike M's. What? I'll be back with Mike M's weekly reads. Bye. Barb was yelling. Hello. And welcome back to Mike M's Weekly Reads. I just got back from work and I wanted to talk some comics real quick so I can append this to my podcast discussion. So, a couple of things occurred recently that I'm going to, that this is, by the time you listen to it, it's probably old news. But I'll go over it anyway. Vertigo's coming back and it's launching with seven new titles and a new logo. It's like DC Vertigo logo. And I looked at all of the new titles and they seem pretty interesting. So, I'm all in on DC, no matter what. So I think that the launch will be pretty much uneventful. In other words, a lot of the people will not buy Vertigo that weren't buying it already. Like if they didn't buy Deathbed or Friend Imaginary Fiends or Friends or whatever it was, Fiends I think it was, or any of the others, I don't think it's going to knock people's socks off, although the premises are awesome, like they all sounded great to me. I don't think the sales are gonna jump up with it. I think if Sandman launches as a Vertigo, I think it has enough of a core audience that that will be like their top seller. But I don't ever think they'll go back to the glory days of when they were Swamp Thing, Animal Man, Sandman, Fables. I mean, when Fables left, it seemed like the line left. And the interesting thing on sales of Vertigo is they used to be evergreens. Like you'd see Fables show up on the list all the time in trades and a lot of other stuff. Well, they seem to have vanished now that they're not doing stuff. So we'll see what happens, but DC's taken a lot of crazy chances, and there was an interesting interview with Dan DiDio, and what I took out of it is he's saying like sales have kind of like flatlined. This is my interpretation of what he's saying, by the way. It was I can't remember who, something monkey something e like some kind of interview that they did with him, and it was interesting because he talked about sales and how they're kind of staying stagnant, but they're staying stagnant, or keeping the with variant covers. Like if the variant covers went away, they'd decrease. Because what he's saying is that people that might buy one copy will buy two copies just to get the variant. So he said it's an interesting market, and then they're trying a bunch of stuff. They got a kids line coming up. They got Vertigo. They potentially gonna relaunch Young Animal in the future because it's going away for a while. Supposedly there's a milestone thing in the works, but I haven't heard anything for that. It'd be interesting. They have the New Age of Heroes, which I'm enjoying. There's just a lot of different things in the queue, and a lot of competition to fight over people's dollar. It'll be interesting. They're diversifying their line, but I don't know what that means in terms of success, at least in the mainstream. So, the other thing is Valiant's finally launching four new titles. Let me see if I could find them real quick. These ones, the Valiant titles, I don't know if I watched a video and I don't remember all of them. But what am I doing? The Valiant titles. Doo-doo-doo. It's a new Bloodshot title, which is supposed to be more of his origin. Faith Dreamside, which could be interesting because we got Dr. Mirage on the cover. We have a Livewire series coming out, and Incursion, which has something to do with aliens in the dead side. So, and I think the Incursion one is going to be one of the most interesting because it's written by Andy Deagle and has Dougie Braithwaite doing art. The Faith Dreamside is by Jody Hauser and MJ Kim. Bloodshot Rising Spirit is by Lonnie Nadler and Zach Thompson from Cable Fame and some of the stuff they're doing at Black Mask and with artist Ken Lashley. And the Livewire is by Vida Alaya, but it says Supergirl, but God, I don't remember that name for the life of me. With artists Ral Allen and Patricia Martin from Secret Weapons. So could be interesting. I don't know if it tells us if these are ongoing. The Faith Dreamside is, it says, a limited series. Bloodshot is an ongoing series. So the way I read it is a limited series is probably four issues. An ongoing series is probably 12 or 10 or more. The Livewire is a limited series. And Incursion's a limited event series. So, could be interesting. Let me see. DC Valiant. New titles. I'd like to just see. What did I say? DC Valiant. I mean, DC Vertigo. What am I doing? DC relaunches Vertical. New Vertical imprint. Okay, so they have Border Town. This one's the one that looks really interesting, politically interesting to me, because it has to do with the Mexican border and aliens and such. That one looks really interesting. That's probably my most anticipated one. And then let's see who does that. Do do do. Border Town is by Eric M. Esquivel, who does Adventure Time, and it doesn't list the artist. It sucks. Hex Wives is by writer Ben Blacker. Tells a story about men who brainwash a coven of witches so they act more like the Stepford Wives. That seems really interesting. Doesn't list the artists, but I know they had the artists announced as well. American Carnage by Brian Hill is about a disgraced FBI agent who goes undercover in a white supremacist group believed to be responsible for the death of a fellow agent. That sounds interesting too. All the premises of these sound fantastic. Goddess Mode is by Zoe Quinn. Delves into the future where a young woman's job is to do tech support on a godlike AI, but she's drawn to a deadly digital world. She discovers a group of superpowered women and horrific monsters locked in a secret war for the cheat codes to reality. That one's probably not necessarily in my wheelhouse, but I'm definitely going to read it. High Level by Rob Sheridan. Former art director for Nine Inch Nails. Interesting. Tells a story about a selfish smuggler with a price on her head who must travel to a new continent to deliver a child messiah to a mythical city called High Level. That's interesting. Safe Sex by Tina Horn gives us a dystopian sci-fi thriller about sex workers fighting for freedom to love in a world where sexual pleasure is monitored, regulated, and policed by the government. Ooh, that's interesting. And finally, Second Coming by Mark Russell, is a religious comedy where God sends Jesus back to Earth so he will learn the family trade from an all-powerful superhero named Sun Man. And that one is in my wheelhouse because I like reading about religious stuff. Yeah, so there's some that's the Vertigo announcements and the Valiant announcements. And let me get to the weekly reads for August 22nd through August 27th of 2017. Had a good distribution of books this week. We had a total of 27. We had 5 Titan, 12 Marvel, 1 Image, 1 Dynamite, 1 DC, 1 Boundless, 4 Avatar, and 2 Alterna. So we start at the 3 out of 5s. The Edge of Venomverse 1, 3, and 4. And you might say, well, where's 2? Well, he's up above, so I must have liked 2 better. And these ones were like individual one shots. The X-23 Venom joins up with a bunch of deviant kids as she escapes her confinement. The number 3 was a Ghost Rider issue, and number 4 was Old Man Logan. We then get into a 3 out of 5 with the Righteous number 1, the Wicked Righteous. Excuse me, I can't even read my own writing. Older people are dying from a rapture-like sickness. Father raises kids to stay together, and then when rescuing a girl, lose a brother. Also met a younger deviant kid. So it's about the rapture, which is always an interesting topic. If you like the rapture, I'd highly recommend Rick Remender's Strange Girl. We go into the 4 out of 5s. We got Skin and Earth. This is a dystopian future where the use of natural resources has destroyed our Earth and segregated our people. It sounds like something that the current leadership and administration is looking to do. They don't believe in science. They're dumb as shit, and they're gonna destroy our world. Fashion Beast number 7 and 10. This is a dystopian future where fashion is very important. A girl goes back to her roots to discover the main designer killed herself to escape his prison while she was gone. Gives his inheritance to the complete opposite person, which shocks the house. So this is like a weird dystopian Alan Moore type future written by somebody who's translating Alan Moore's script, and it turned out to be really good. I highly recommend it. It's from Avatar Comics. That's pretty much where you'll find Alan Moore these days. Let's see what else we got. Let's look that up real quick. Fashion Beast. Yeah, it's Alan Moore with art by Facundo Puccio. And it was 10 issues. That came out in 2012. I really liked it. So, the next one that we have is The Looker's Ember. This is from Boundless Comics. It's very nasty. I mean, I would say it's a rated X book, but not quite. It's rated X in terms of nudity and sexual content, but it's like a rated X movie that has like a rated R type adventure to it. So the girls get mixed up with a Mexican drug lord when trying to trace down a man who may be cheating on his wife. Ember shows up at the end of the issue. She's actually somebody that did it in a plane crash, if I remember correctly, because I bought the Kickstarter of Ember and read it, and she became like a celebrity that had fire powers, kind of like the Human Torch. She shows up at the end of the issue. Ember, backup and never published before Looker story from the 90s, as the girls go out on a date when they're being hunted by assassins. Really entertaining issue. And of the Boundless titled books, this is the one that hooked me the most because it's like an adrenaline rush. It's like Danger Girl, but nasty. it's really high-paced action, if you can take the nastiness. Edge of Venomverse number 2 was next. It was a venomized Gwenpool. Is in love with Daredevil as she tries to kill Matt Murdock and her boss to protect the identity of Daredevil. So that's interesting, and it's interesting that I'm a fan of Gwenpool the most in the Venomverse. We have Carnage number 12 through 16. I finished this series. It was really good by Jerry Conway. The Darkhold religious cult taken on an island with Carnage by an FBI group and Jubilee, who absorb toxin to defeat Carnage, and it's the death of an FBI agent. It was a really cool series. The Chair number 2, the warden continues to torture our main character, and in this issue, takes a rapist, and all of his guards rape him. Oh, okay. I know what I mean by this. So this guy was on death row, and he was a rapist, at least convicted of rape. And the guards actually raped him. The Chair is very weird. It's a very weird series, but really well done from Alterna. It was probably my favorite, if not my still my favorite, of the Alterna series, although they've been really good with some of the stuff they've been coming out with lately. I've been getting into it a lot. So we got Sacred Creatures number 1. This is an Image title. A family of gods of some sort need an innocent kid to complete their plan, and they slowly destroy his life at getting a new job and being with his pregnant girlfriend. That was interesting because this group is like weird, and they're playing godlike games with this kid and manipulating him. Like each player is manipulating him some way for some event that they're preparing for. I really enjoyed it, and this book has bang for your buck because it's like 60 pages each issue, and if I remember correctly, I think it was $4.99, but it's a lot of content. It's really dense. We have World War X, number 1 and 2 from Titan Comics. That was the last 4 out of 5. The country uses alien technology for power, but scientist discovers that they're actually bringing the destruction of the Earth. So he tells his ex-wife, but it may be too late as they have turned to a zombie-like creatures. There is an immortal savior that goes to fight the alien, but is confronted by another alien. I've enjoyed this title. I haven't finished reading it yet. It's near my bedside, so I should finish it. It's just that what near my bedside, I usually means I read digital because it's like in the middle of the night. We then have some Jason Aaron, Doctor Strange, number 1 through 3 is a 5 out of 5. A girl seeks Doctor Strange's help as she's has mystical parasites on her head. He cures her, many strange creatures are showing up, and the sorcerers from all dimensions are being murdered. Really cool premise. Fell in love with this first arc. We then have The Assignment, which is from Titan Comics. It's a hard case crime. Love this. This is a gun for hire takes down a scientist lover, and he captures him and turns him into a woman. Frank gets revenge on the gang hired by the doctor and also the doctor. I don't know what I mean by that. It was made into a movie. The movie was not good. I was very disappointed with the movie. This comic was fucking awesome. I highly recommend The Assignment if you're into hard case crime, number 1 through 3. Number 5 is the top book of the day of this week was a Tom King book, Batman Elmer Fudd, number 1. And this is what I wrote up. Many of you know I have not been enjoying Tom's Batman. Because of this, I was holding off on reading Batman Elmer Fudd. Today I sat down and read it, and it could be one of the best single issues I have ever read in my entire life. The voices of the crime noir story from the Looney Tunes brought a tear to my eye, and I had goosebumps the entire time when reading it. Lee Week's art blew my mind. How do you read another comic after something so perfect? That's what I wrote about it. And then I said, you don't for a while. You just sit back and bask in your happy space, thinking and crying a little bit. This was above a 5 out of 5. So I just want to say, this was an amazing book for me. I loved it. I loved it so much and so hard. Oh God. Let me give you a little bit of history of where I'm coming from. I grew up with the Looney Tunes. I watched their cartoons religiously. So I knew all these characters inside and out. So when Tom went to the bar and he had these characters and you're solving a mystery of Elmer Fudd, and it's heartbreaking too because of what happens to Elmer Fudd. He's trying to solve a murder for somebody he loved, and he's coming around with a shotgun, and it's very crime noirish, and there's Yosemite Sam and Marvin the Marsh, all these characters in the bar, and he just nails the voices. It's like taking something you love and putting a serious tone on it, but keeping the voice of the cartoon characters alive. It was phenomenal. And I'll always remember it as one of the best single issues I have ever read in my entire life. So, there you go. There's some Tom King love right there. And I hope you enjoyed this episode. You can reach me and send questions. I need more questions for future episodes. It didn't even have to be a question. It could be, how do you feel about, well, I guess that is a question, about this news, or have you read X, or what, anything that you want me to talk about. Also, keep an eye out. Very soon, you will be seeing a DC Spotlight episode, which is going to have a person that I interviewed on Collector's Corner as a host. So I hope you keep an eye out for that. I hope you enjoy what we'll be doing. Our first recording is this Sunday, so we'll see how that goes. It should be a lot of fun. What else? You can reach me email at mike@comicbooknoise.com and Facebook located at Geek Brunch Podcast. Follow the episode thread there. And you could leave comments on that site as well. And on the website itself, which is geekbrunchpodcast.com, please leave comments there. So thank you for listening, and I'll be back very soon. Take care. Bye.